SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast discusses topics which are relevant to the everyday lives of seniors and their caregivers. We are joined by experts who share their knowledge on a variety of issues. SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast offers solutions and resources to create the best quality of life as we age. And now, let's welcome your host, Darlene Mahoney.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast. We want to thank our listeners who have been the key to our success as we enter our third season of Senior and Caregiver Resource Podcasts. Our podcast can be listened to and followed most anywhere you enjoy music or podcasts, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and even Alexa, and many more. And please don't keep our podcast all to yourself. Share with a senior or caregiver who you think will benefit from the support that we provide. I am your host, Darlene Mahoney, and I am excited to share the news that SeniorLivingGuide.com provides a one-stop shop to finding senior housing, including independent and active seniors, a new home while providing an excellent resource to assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, or even home health and caregiving services solutions, and one easy-to-navigate website. So visit SeniorLivingGuide.com today. And I would also like to thank our podcast sponsors, Parish Healthcare and Parish Medical Center. At Parish, they offer the Parish Senior Consultation Center and Parish Senior Solutions, where each patient's evaluation and follow-up care will be personalized to meet the needs of the individual and their families.
At Parish Healthcare, we believe in our community. We believe in keeping our community safe. We believe in the art of healing. We believe in healing patients, healing families, healing communities. We believe in the best and brightest working together for the common good. At Parish Healthcare, our team focuses on you as an individual because every life is a work of art to us. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life. Visit parishhealthcare.com/healthaware for a free health risk assessment.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast. We are so excited to have Naomi McLeod. She is a program director for the Virginia chapter of the American Parkinson's Disease Association. Her role at APDA is developing educational programming geared towards Parkinson's patients, families, and the community's needs in Virginia. Her personal experience has led her to field within public health, and she's happy to share resources and education towards families and people diagnosed with chronic and progressive illnesses. And Naomi has been a guest of the podcast before, and we had such great feedback on the information that she provided. Now we're going to talk about, once you have a diagnosis, what are some things that you need to do post-diagnosis? So thank you so much for joining us once again, Naomi.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back here again.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of recap, what is Parkinson's disease?
So Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurological disease, which is due to a lack of a chemical in the brain called dopamine. And with that, it's a very complex disease, and it affects different motor symptoms, such as shakiness, tremors, shuffling, walking, rigidity, and slowness. And then some of those non-motor symptoms can include depression, fatigue, constipation, just a vast number of non-motor symptoms with Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, and I know that last time we talked, it's such a wide variety that it could fit into a lot of different categories of diseases, especially diseases that you find in people that are aging. So to get a diagnosis can sometimes be slightly difficult, correct?
Yes. Luckily, you know, through research and since the last time we talked, there's been some great medical research and advancements in terms of diagnosing Parkinson's disease, but it can take some time and it could be very frustrating for the person with Parkinson's disease, the care partner of the person with Parkinson's disease. It can be a process in order to finally get a final diagnosis.
How common is a Parkinson's diagnosis?
According to our research, every 6 minutes, someone is diagnosed. Prior to COVID, that we had an estimate that it was about 60,000 people who had been newly diagnosed. And now our numbers are showing that there's about 90,000 new diagnoses every year of Parkinson's disease, and currently 1 million people in the U.S. are living with Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow. So those are not good numbers. You really would prefer them to go the opposite direction.
Well, Parkinson's disease is one, finding a cure and finding out a reason as to why people are, you know, experiencing or suffering from this disease. There are different factors, as I mentioned in our last conversation, that we think can influence that diagnosis or those onset of symptoms. But that is still something that we are, as researchers around the world, are still trying to figure out to this day.
Right, exactly. What next? Once you've been diagnosed, what are next steps?
Well, there are several things that I want to suggest as we talk today. I know for one, you know, following a diagnosis or any diagnosis, you know, there's an overwhelming sense of feelings and emotions that can be involved. There can be shock, denial, anger, sadness. Some may even feel relief as a result, because like I said, it could be a process to kind of get to this point. And part of my job and just in APDA in general is to be able to provide those resources so those families or people with Parkinson's will be able to kind of go down the right path following their diagnosis. As I kind of talked about in the last podcast, is that, you know, you are still able to live life with Parkinson's. Life doesn't have to end with Parkinson's. And I think it's important to also kind of, I don't want to say shift the mindset, but kind of use as an opportunity to kind of reshape how living life can be. From the medical standpoint, we encourage those to find a healthcare team, because with Parkinson's disease, you know, your symptoms can progress. One thing that I do want to highlight, that every person with Parkinson's can have a different experience. They may not all have the same symptoms. So it's important to kind of have a team of people, whether that's a neurologist who's very informed, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, a social worker, being open to mental health professionals with Parkinson's disease. One can experience anxiety, depression. So being open-minded to, as these symptoms, that if they start to occur or should they ever occur, that you have a team of people kind of rallying behind you, a primary care physician, just a team of people, whether that's your care partner, from a medical standpoint, from a family standpoint, who can be able to guide you, you know, as this disease progresses. The first thing I want to highlight is really having a healthcare team in your back pocket of kind of figuring out, you know, should these symptoms arise, who can I go to? Where can I turn to? Who are the medical professionals who hear me, who see me, who can advocate for me, and even advocate for yourself?
Right. Yeah. Advocating for yourself is, you know, sometimes you have to be your biggest advocate. And then also having family members in your back pocket to advocate for you. Because I know that when you're dealing with a disease of any type, you can just get mentally worn out. So having a good caregiver team or family that can help advocate for you can also be one of your biggest strengths.
It definitely is. And I also want to highlight too, people who are newly diagnosed, you know, it could be very easy to kind of get in a rabbit hole of Googling. And I want to highlight to really look at credible resources. You Google Parkinson's disease, as I mentioned, every person is different. Every experience is different. Every person's symptoms are different. So really use incredible resources. And I will say one thing that I've learned about the Parkinson's community, that they love to learn. They love to stay engaged, you know, looking at webinars. There's so many different organizations that have ongoing education. As I said, it's a very complicated disease. And there's so many motor symptoms, non-motor symptoms with Parkinson's disease. So really looking at credible resources, knowing that every person is different is really important. And be able to kind of take advantage of that education. Because I get calls a lot of family members who have been newly diagnosed and they're Googling, and
yeah,
it makes them feel anxious and whatnot. And they're thinking that it's the end. And it's not that case at all.
Google can be a fabulous thing, and it can also be a terrible thing. In its heyday, when people were like really self-diagnosing using like WebMD and Google and things like that, especially when you see pictures of things and you're trying to say, oh, does my mole look like this or does it look like that? good Lord, just go to a doctor. It's never good to use that. Honestly, it could send you into a severe depression. You will tend to even believe the worst versus the most positive out of fear. I don't know, but it just seems like so much stuff is so, so negative when you're researching that type of thing. Really talk to more support groups, talk to your doctor, talk to, you know, folks that are more supportive and have medical backgrounds and can be more supportive. Really stay off the internet.
Yes, I'm a victim to it.
We all are. We're all victims.
It's very natural. This is your life. My friends will tell me, you know, don't Google. You feel your anxiety rising. Just stick to the credible resources. Stick to your doctor. Stick to like APDA, our webinars, our programs that we do. I would just stick to that just to kind of save yourself the peace of mind and kind of protecting your peace in that instance.
Yeah. And just to notate in the content of the podcast in within the apps, whichever app you're listening to this on, the link for American Parkinson's Disease Association will be in there, which is a great resource for anyone with Parkinson's or their families. You know, we talked a little bit about creating that health care team, how important that is, but also you have to create healthy habits. What are some of those healthy habits that are supportive of creating a better lifestyle with Parkinson's?
The main thing that I want to highlight as well, you know, when people are diagnosed, you know, some may be working, some may be retired, some may have had a very active lifestyle, you know, some may not have had an active lifestyle. It's one, important to be very patient with yourself. Like I said, you are able to live life with Parkinson's, but you kind of have to make some adjustments. And sometimes that can be a little bit hard. Knowing that building habits take time, to be patient with yourself. The one thing that I do want to highlight is first, exercise. It has been shown that with exercise, it can slow the progression of Parkinson's disease. I would suggest starting small, doing something that you enjoy, incorporating some type of endurance, strength, stretching, or balance. And as I mentioned in our last podcast that we had together, you know, there's so many resources available to you for free. You can YouTube. If you live in a very rural area, there are ways, and sometimes you have to be a little bit creative. You know, if you have grandkids, let's go for a walk, you know, kind of being creative and trying to fit it in, doing something that you actually enjoy. Like, no one wants to be miserable doing something that they don't like. Another thing that I want to highlight is trying to stay active, trying to stay engaged, really maintaining socialization and connection is very important as well. With Parkinson's disease, it can be very isolating, especially with some of those symptoms of depression and anxiety. It can cause us to kind of cave in a little bit. Being open to new experiences, and like I said earlier, kind of using it as a way to shift your mindset. And part of what we do with APDA is kind of creating that environment where you're able to just come. You know, we do the art programs. We had a woman's tea last month that we did.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. We decorated the room, partnered with a great assisted living facility in Newport News. So we really want to maintain that connection. It's so important. And we're relying on those family and friends to be able to kind of bring you out of that shell too. When you're able to kind of shift that mindset and kind of create those healthy habits, it shows that you have a better quality of life. As they say, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. We really want to highlight that's the most important thing with Parkinson's, is staying active.
Yeah, I don't know if you caught it, but we just did a podcast with someone that does Zumba Gold, which is Zumba for seniors, and she does it live from your computer screen. So you can actually interact. So it's not like you're watching it a video or you're watching it on YouTube. With the Zumba Gold, it keeps you active, but you can customize it to your abilities. So if you can't do certain things because of physical issues or what have you, you really can customize it, and it's fun. And then you can do it at home. So those are different options as well, because you mentioned, you know, living in a rural area, and that is hard. I know I'm not living in a rural area, but the closest gym to me is like 20 minutes away. So if you are living in rural, you may not have a gym at all. So it can be very difficult to get out. And while you can do the walking, you know, walking around the neighborhood or taking your dog for a walk, but connecting within your home, and then also the social connection that you get, is an incredible way to connect as well. I think that's a really cool idea. So
that I have that I've learned by being in this position is that there's so many resources available. The YMCA does rock study boxing. There's a gym called Empower Male Wellness in Virginia Beach that is a neuro gym. So there's different avenues that are, you know, some are free, some cost money. We really don't want to discourage anyone's situation, their area, their finances to be a determining factor in being able to exercise. There's so many resources that just people just some may not even know about.
And occupational therapy, is that something that is, or physical therapy, is something that is included when you're getting that medical care with Parkinson's? Is that something that's typically part of a care plan?
So we do encourage physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. Physical therapy can help with your balance, your strength, your gait. They're able to create an exercise plan that is kind of geared towards Parkinson's disease and being able to know what things to work on to keep you safe, to keep you home. Occupational therapy focuses on your daily living, so showering, getting dressed, cooking. So kind of those adaptations to kind of keep you at home and learning how to modify your home, you know, whether that could be a reacher or cooking or putting your clothes on. So they kind of help more with the activities of daily living, I would say. But all are important. And then with speech therapy with Parkinson's disease, it can affect your swallowing. Your voice can become softer. They can help with giving you exercises, ordering different tests to see how you're swallowing, your vocal muscles. So it's important to have that. And I've heard some neurologists even say they call it pre-rehab. You know, if you've been newly diagnosed, to start those, seeing those therapists early, kind of gauging where you're at currently. So it is important to have and kind of having that comprehensive team. They are trained in that regards through graduate school to kind of focus on those techniques.
I think that that's a great idea. I think once you've been diagnosed, even if you're not showing those severe symptoms, it makes perfect sense to go ahead and start those healthy habits and knowledge to kind of set the stage.
Yeah, I think it's important to note too, like with these habits that I'm talking about or shifting these changes, are that these are the things that you can control. You know, with Parkinson's disease, as your symptoms progress, being able to kind of control your environment in terms of your exercise, your mindset, reaching out to your doctor, those are things that you can control within your environment. And that's, we want to be able to kind of give people with Parkinson's and their family those tools so that they can know what to do behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think control, especially when you've been diagnosed with a disease where your body starts taking control from you, you need to have the most control possible. I think that's very important for people. That's so much great information. Thank you so much for that.
And I would say control, but also flexibility as well. Like you want to be able to gauge your environment, but also kind of being open, kind of being able to adjust to, you know, how things were before. That doesn't mean you have to stop, but, you know, I may need more time to do this, or I may have to meal prep this, or I may have to have my medications ready for this. So kind of just being able to kind of adapt in that regards.
And that would be the educational piece, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the upfront and being prepared. Once you have the diagnosis, being educated prior to needing those things, it's an easier mental transition and you can kind of adapt to it. Well, I think we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how APDA, the American Parkinson's Disease Association, which is a national association, while Naomi works in the Virginia chapter, can be a very, very helpful tool for Parkinson's patients and their families. We're going to talk more about how they are a tool and how they can help you, and then how you can support APDA. We'll be right back after we have a break with our podcast sponsors, Parish Healthcare and Parish Medical Center.
Hey, Mom, how's retirement home search coming?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so stressed out. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, why are you so stressed? What's the matter?
I don't know where to find anything. I just need everything in like one place and know what all the options are.
Does the idea of searching for senior housing seem overwhelming and you just aren't sure where to even begin? SeniorLivingGuide.com has great news for you. We offer a one-stop solution to take the stress out of your senior housing search. At SeniorLivingGuide.com, both our statewide Florida edition book and website are created to make your senior housing search very easy for you to navigate. We provide details on communities, including retirement, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and home health, allowing you to decide which best fits your needs and then connecting you directly with those communities. Visit us online at seniorlivingguide.com.
At Parish Healthcare, we believe every life is poetry in motion, motivated by strength and determination. As your bone, muscle, and joint healthcare partners, we believe in blending the art of healing with the science of medicine to keep your body in motion. We believe in healing patients, healing families, and healing communities. For a free orthopedic health assessment, visit parishhealthcare.com/orthoaware. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life.
Thank you for joining us on the second half of our podcast. And we are going to continue the conversation with Naomi, who is with APDA, American Parkinson's Disease Association. So how can we support you and what is the mission with APDA?
So our mission is to provide support, education, and research and programs that help those with Parkinson's really live life to the fullest. There are several chapters throughout the United States. We're a nationwide organization. However, I work for the Virginia chapter, so we're a statewide chapter. If there's a chapter in your state, there's a coordinator or a programs person who is able to assist. And even if you do not have a chapter in the state, we do have a national coordinator who will still be able to provide you with the same assistance. In that regard, we really pride ourselves on being communal. If you call APDA, you will get a person. If you call APDA Virginia, you'll get myself or my colleague. There's no question that we can't solve. If I don't know it, you know, we have access to our medical director who is very engaged. She's amazing. So we really want to be there for the community to guide them in the right direction, that if they have questions, if they don't know where to turn, they move to a new city in Virginia and don't know, you know, where the support groups are, where the neurologists are, where the resources are. We've gotten calls from people who had Parkinson's and had to move and could have been homeless. So we get a vast emails and calls, anything related to Parkinson's disease. Part of my job is the programming aspect. As I mentioned earlier, finding credible resources. We have a monthly webinar that we do. We recently had a speech program. A 4-month May was Speech and Better Speech and Hearing Month. We had a 4-week virtual speech program. And the great thing about the virtual component is that, you know, if you live in a rural area, if you know, we know it's hard to see neurologists and get questions asked, answered. We really want to be able to provide that education outside of the office that can be very frustrating. Everyone may not have a good experience. Everyone has different symptoms. We really want to bring, like I said, the socialization aspect and the education aspect, you know, to your door, to where you live, to keep you educated and to keep you engaged. Because like I said, the people that I've met in the community, they really want to stay active. They really are very determined and they want to stay above the research, above the disease in the day-to-day.
Right. That's great. That's great that you guys are bringing this. And the American Parkinson's Disease Association, APDA.org, is a great resource. So while you're providing all the education and the resources, things like that, how do you get involved? Do you go online? And is there anything that our listeners that don't have Parkinson's, is there anything that they can do to be helpful to, if this is something they're passionate about, maybe they have a family member that's had Parkinson's or anything like that. Is there anything that they can do if Parkinson's support is their passion?
We're very engaged. Some of our chapters, you know, we're a national organization, but some of our chapters, it's run, you know, fairly small. You know, we're small but mighty. So we're always looking for volunteers. Come to our events. You know, like I said, the Women's in Tea event that we had health professionals who come just to learn. You don't know until you know. You never know if you cross paths with someone. You know, social workers, I try to get engaged with really anybody in the community, whether it's doctors, health professionals, volunteers. I think it's really important to learn and to be engaged. So we accept volunteers, come to our events, support us. We accept donations as well. We are a nonprofit, and those funds that we do raise, you know, go towards our community for creating more support groups, creating more art programs, and really increasing that socialization. We really need all of the communities support as well. One thing I also did want to highlight too is that APDA does have two newly diagnosed programs that we have. One is the Good Start program for those who have been diagnosed within the last 3 years. This kind of covers more so of the medical side, where we have a neurologist, we have a physical therapist. We talk about the importance of a healthcare team to kind of figuring out the next steps medically for someone who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And we also have a program called the PRESS program, which kind of focuses more on the mental, the grief, the feelings and emotions. And that can be found on our website too. But I did want to highlight that we do have two programs, if anyone's listening, and they're nationwide programs that if someone's newly diagnosed, to look into those programs that we do have.
Yeah, those are two very vital areas, the physical and the mental. And that's great. You've just launched those then.
Yeah, so we had our first PRESS program in January, and it was virtual. And I thought it was great because there were people from all over Virginia. And I was kind of sad when it ended because they really kind of created their own bond. We met every Friday. They were kind of able to say, you know, have you been dealing with this? You know, when you join a support group, it can be hard because people may have different stages. It can be very intimidating sometimes. You really want to create an environment where people feel safe. They can kind of be in their cocoon a little bit to kind of feel safe in that regard. So
support groups are super important, just as people are aging and they're having different areas of difficulty health-wise. I think it's just really important support groups, caregiver support groups. And I think just having all these resources available. And as we here at SeniorLivingGuide.com podcast, we want to get those resources out to our listeners. And that is one of our biggest goals here. So I appreciate that we're able to provide that, that you're able to provide that through the services that you offer. And thank you so much. Is there anything you wanted to talk about before we close out our podcast today?
We really want to be out in the community, so we welcome any support that you guys can give us. So thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. We have absolutely enjoyed having you on our podcast today, Naomi, and we still may have another future podcast for you, especially as I do feel like Parkinson's has continued to make some improvements, and especially as APDA has added new programs and opportunities for patients with Parkinson's and their families, additional resources that we'd like to share out. So thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please find more podcasts anywhere you listen to podcasts, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Alexa, and more.